Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Ed. Let me add my welcome to Pastor Tyler's welcome to Richview Church Online. I'm so glad that you are tuning in, and I hope that this time together will be a great encouragement to you and will help you sense that you continue to be a part of a faith community that is seeking to be the church that Jesus intends it to be. While it is difficult to not be physically present with each other, I am so grateful for the technological resources available today so that we can be together in this way. It is definitely not the same, but hopefully you will have some sense as we worship and pray and study God's Word together at the same time that we are a community that is seeking to honor and serve God. Our mission remains the same, joyfully leading others to a growing relationship with Jesus. If you are new to Richview or checking us out online, know that you are so welcome to check us out and join in. And with that, let me jump into this message. When I was first writing this message almost 2 weeks ago, I wrote these opening words. I expect you would agree with me that we live in uncertain times. At that time, I was fully expecting to share this message with you in person live and had little anticipation that things would change so rapidly here in Canada. But here we are, living in the greatest upheaval any of us have experienced in our lifetime. But let us be aware that every society and every age does live in times of uncertainty. My parents lived through the Great Depression and the World Wars. Their parents lived through various epidemics, and there were things happening in distant parts of the world that they had no idea what was happening. I've been reading recently about the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic that took approximately 17 to 50 million lives. That was just over 100 years ago. The bubonic plague, or Black Death, of 1347 to 1351 took some 75 to 200 million lives. A quick review of history tells us that this world is an uncertain place. So it has been. So it will be. Now, we are living through a major event, but before coronavirus and COVID-19 became daily terms, we all know that this world is an uncertain place where one event can turn our personal lives upside down. A health issue, an accident, unemployment, and so on. When we open the pages of Scripture and read letters to first century Christians, we can relate to them because they too lived in uncertain times. The letters that we are given in Scripture speak into these uncertain realities, and the teachings given are not only for them, the first readers, but for us. And they are given so that we can navigate uncertain times with a certain confidence. There are things to hold on to and anchor ourselves to so that in the midst of uncertainty, we are not overcome, but are overcomers. Today, we're going to delve into the last few verses of the letter of 1 John. If you have joined us for worship over the last few weeks, with the exception of last Sunday, you will know that we have been working our way through this letter chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Because of this particular passage's relevance for us, I have decided to continue with giving this final message in this series even though so much has changed over the last couple weeks. As we have learned, as we've been studying through 1 John, the big message of this letter is declaring what is authentic Christianity. What are its vital signs? That's what we've called it. The letter of 1 John, written towards the end of the first century, was originally addressed to Christians where there was some fake news going around. John called them false teachers and prophets. And John, in this letter, is setting the record straight. I said this in the first message in this series, that John is concerned to address two main things throughout this letter. The things that authentic Christians believe and teach, and the things that authentic Christians do, or how they live. And then we have explored that in some depth in this series as we have navigated our way through this letter. And as we come to this closing passage, John is again going to repeat some of that. But by and large, he wants to encourage authentic believers that they can live with a certainty and with a confidence in an uncertain world. And we need that today. And so let's jump in. We're looking at 1 John 5, verses 13 to 21. I would really encourage you to follow along with me in your Bibles or with a Bible app. 1 John 5, 13 says this, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." This verse is actually John's summary statement that states clearly his purpose for writing the entire letter and introduces his concluding words of encouragement and affirmation and direction to his readers. John's overriding goal is that they might know that they have eternal life. And by that word know, John means more than just know intellectually, but to know intimately, to know experientially, to know heart and soul. Now, some of us might read that verse and think that John is merely saying, I want you to know that when you die, if you believe in the name of the Son of God, you're going to go to heaven. And while that's included, I believe that John is saying something much richer than this. Verse 13 is actually building off of the previous two verses, which helps us understand what John actually means by those two words, eternal life. Verses 11 and 12 say this, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." I think that John couldn't be clear. And that is that life, real life, spiritual life, comes to us through our relationship with Jesus. And that can begin now. In other words, eternal life doesn't begin after we die. Eternal life begins now as I'm connected with the one who is life. Namely, Jesus. That's what it means to be born again. We receive the eternal life of Jesus now. And that's why for the one who has put their faith in Jesus, physical death is not the end. I believe that if ever people need to know the great hope, this great hope in our world, it is now. We live in uncertain times, to be sure. But we can be secure in the knowledge that our life is connected with the one who is life. Do you have this confidence? It only comes through faith in Jesus. But there is so much more in this passage. If we have this life, then it opens up a whole dynamic of spiritual relating with God. Verse 14 continues, This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. John is reiterating here what he stated before in this letter regarding the great confidence that believers can have in prayer. Earlier he wrote in chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him." I think John is teaching that prayer takes on a whole new dimension for the believer. At least it's meant to, because we have the life or spirit of Jesus in us. The emphasis in these verses is clearly on answered prayer, but the key phrase in verse 14 is to pray according to his will, and in the other passage, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. John is teaching that prayer is an essential part of the Christian life. And God wants to, desires to work in our lives and through our lives as we follow him and walk with him day by day. Prayer is neither an add-on optional activity, nor is it something disconnected from the day-to-day living out of our faith. Prayer is one of the vital signs of authentic faith. And I wonder at times whether our pulse on this vital sign is strong or weak. And I suspect at times too often weak. You see, John teaches that the life of Jesus living in us leads to confident prayer because of the relationship with God that we now have. Not so that God does our bidding, but so that we can participate more fully in what God wants to do in us and through us. God does answer prayer. That's the bold promise of these verses. But our prayers must be shaped by the truth and will of God. Right now, I believe passionately that God is at work in our world today in these circumstances. I believe that this could be an unprecedented time of spiritual awakening. And we need to seek to discern his will and pray into that. Remember that Jesus himself powerfully modeled, "Father, not my will, but yours." Let's pray also as Jesus taught us to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If we learn to pray that way, we will witness God doing powerful things. Now, the next two verses elaborate on one aspect of prayer, I think almost like a side comment, that has caused considerable theological discussion, and I'll be frank, is not easy to understand. Let's read these verses, 16 and 17. "If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death." Now, the main point that John is making here is that we should pray for one another when we see a brother or sister commit sin. Now, he doesn't say the first thing we should do when we see another sin is tell someone else about it. No, the first thing is to go to God about it. And if that brother or sister is sincerely seeking to follow God, then that will be enough. Remember the great truth John has already communicated in the first chapter, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the good news of forgiveness of sin. But John indicates here that there are exceptions. What he refers to as the sin that leads to death. Now, what is that? Well, John is likely referring to either or both of what Jesus called the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which you can find in Matthew 12 and 31, or he may be referring to what we see in the situation of the early church in Acts 5, where Ananias and Sapphira sought to deceive the church regarding their givings and were struck down suddenly by God. Both very sobering passages and contexts. And I recognize that both of those scenarios deserve unpacking. But I'm actually going to just kind of leave it there. And if you want to engage further with chat, asking a question, we'll be glad to engage you further. Keep in mind that the main point that John is making in this point in this closing section is that we should pray. And that we should pray for one another and commit one another to God. And he is also warning at the same time that sin is very serious. After this aside, John launches into his final words, which affirm again really what authentic Christianity is about. Each of the verses 18, 19, and 20 begin with the words, "We know." We know. That is what we can be confident about. Let's look at them one at a time. Verse 18. "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them." Yes, every follower of Christ will struggle with temptation and sin and are in a spiritual battle. But John is saying authentic Christians, those who are seeking daily to follow Christ, they are not in a losing game, but a winning game. Why? For two very important reasons. Because authentic Christians are born of God. They have the power of the Spirit in them to overcome sin. But secondly, because the one who was born of God, that is the only begotten Son of God, Jesus, keeps us safe. That is incredible, great news. And John further affirms the evil one cannot harm them. Bold promises. John is not saying we won't go through terrible times in this world. He's not saying that Christians won't get sick and die. He's saying there is ultimate victory, there is ultimate security, and thus ultimate confidence and hope for every person born again of God. That is our confidence, our security, because the Son himself keeps us safe. What a great promise. Is that your confidence? In uncertain times, this is what we need to cling to. This is our anchor in the storms of life, that Jesus is with us, that Jesus is for us, and Jesus will see us through. That is can be our confidence today. Now look at what is affirmed next. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. John further elaborates here that there are two families with two authorities. You might even say two fathers. And you need to know which family you belong to, whose authority you are truly under, whose household you belong to. We know that we are children of God, and at the same time that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We need to not be deceived. Even in the good times, when everything seems to be going great and life seems fine, the evil one is still powerfully at work in the world. But if your faith is in Jesus, then you are a child of God. You are secure in Him. This is our confidence, knowing who we are and whose we are. And that is elaborated in the third and final affirmation. Verse 20, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. As I said earlier, John's main purpose for writing was to clarify authentic Christianity, to clarify that in the contrast of false teaching and false expressions of Christianity. And so he ends this great letter by this strong affirmation that true Christianity is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It is believing that Jesus is the Son of God who has come to this world, and that by faith in Him, we can come to know Him and are in Him. There is no Christianity apart from a relationship with Jesus. But if we put our faith in Him, then we can live with confidence. Jesus Himself said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you want to know the way? Do you want to know the truth? Do you want life? Put your faith in Jesus. John adds one final word. Although it might seem a little stark, it is actually the appropriate complement to what he has just wrote. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Idols are false gods. They are the things that lead us away from the true God. They may be those things that we have set our hearts upon that we think and are convinced will bring us lasting joy and satisfaction. They may be those things that we are building our life upon, but in an instant can be taken away. Idols can be those things that appear to give us life, but lead us down the path to death. They do not satisfy, not in a lasting way. They do not bring lasting joy, peace, and hope. In our world, right now, many idols are being shown for what they are, that they are uncertain hopes. But Jesus' life and love never fails. In a world that is filled with uncertainty, that is apprehensive about what is going to happen tomorrow, God says, put your faith in Jesus. He is life. He is eternal life. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for this time to reflect on your word and what it teaches us, that shouts to us through the centuries, if you are living in uncertainty, if you have put your hope in uncertain things, then turn to the Savior and put your hope in him. And we can live with confidence, not because of how things are going to turn out in this life, but because we belong to the one who is life itself and will bring us love, joy, and peace. Father, encourage us, strengthen our faith. And if there is anyone who is so uncertain of their hope, their eternal hope, may they turn to you, trust in you, and believe in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that for such a day as this, you've come that we might have hope and that we might have life. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.